And that was basically the sheet months we went through.
So, Jim, who said what? What was the actual verbatim line that was said to control? Well,
that famous line, here's the actual situation, because people ask me that, on and on. The first time, Jack said, Houston, we've had a problem here. Now, that transmission went down to Mission Control. Jack Lausba was the CAPCOM, and I think there was a change, or he didn't hear it. So he said, say again, please. And then I said, Houston, we have a problem here. I repeated what Jack said. I said, we have a main B bus undervolt. And that's the electrical problem, which I first relayed to Mission Control. So that's how that whole sequence came. And my only regret is that I didn't incorporate it or do something.
So when you looked out at the explosion, what did you see?
Well,
what had happened?
It dawned on me. When the accident first occurred and we lost two fuel cells right away, I saw that and they went out the line. But mission rules stated that if you lose one fuel cell, the landing on the moon is off. One fuel cell alone will give you enough electrical power to get around the moon and back home safely. And so there was a wave of disappointment right now, because I thought to myself, I've been here already. My idea is to land on the moon, not just to go around the moon. And then I looked up at the instrument panel, and my eyes focused on the instruments that told me the condition of two huge liquid oxygen tanks. And when I looked at the quantity gauge of one of those tanks, the needle read zero. And when I looked at the quantity gauge of the second and last tank, I could see the needle go down ever so slightly, but something that you would never see in the normal usage of oxygen on a flight to the moon. And that's when that old lead weight went down over my stomach, and that searing sensation you get when you're in deep trouble and don't quite know how to get out of it.
So what happened then, Gene?
Yeah, one of the things Frank mentioned earlier was the quality of the leadership we had. Throughout this entire problem, particularly in the first 24 hours, they didn't seek out briefings, et cetera. They were following along, and their question was, how can we help you? And that was the kind of people that we had in there. They were letting the young pups work the problem, but basically they were superb, our bosses.
So how quickly could you make decisions, and what were they about what you were going to do?
Well, the first thing was, in the first hour, it was to get the crew back on a free return trajectory and basically get them coming home. We also recognized that we're going to have to use the lunar module as a lifeboat. Now, fortunately, as a result of training, we had developed a lot of these procedures during the Apollo 9 mission. So we had a benchmark to start. But the key thing was getting the people in place to start working the problem.
So who on the ground did you have working the problem? I mean, is there a crew in the module at that point who's...
No, we didn't have time to get into simulation. We were trying to get to a stable position with the crew and the spacecraft so we could get time to think. Mm-hmm. And the key thing was that we knew that the command service module was going to die because we had pulled two of the fuel cells offline. The third fuel cell was about 20 minutes from going south on us. So we got the crew over to lunar module, and then it was to get that guy powered up sufficiently so we could transfer the navigation data from the command module, which is going to die, and get it over in the lunar module. So basically we had that entire process going through, and it was really interesting to watch that team work. It took about 20 minutes before everybody started working in the same direction. Mm. But once we got moving, we moved.
So Fred, what was going on with you three guys?
Well, when this happened, I was still in the lunar module putting away things we had pulled out because we just completed a TV show. You'd appreciate that. And the show had to go on, right? So I was putting away the equipment we had pulled out. When I got up to the right seat and looked at the panel, I frankly didn't pick up the fuel cells, but I did notice that oxygen tank two, quantity, pressure was down, and that meant an abort. There's no question that when you lose a single critical element in a system, I didn't have to reference mission rules that I knew the landing was off. So I was just at that time sick of my stomach with disappointment that I'd trained through two missions and here was the big chance, and it was gone in an instant. The next thing that hit, confusion, because we had 7 caution and warning lights on, a master alarm, and a computer blue restart light. And it did not make sense because these spacecraft are very simple. Each system stood alone on its own. They were simplex in that sense. There was no big computer that was integrating everything. So there was no way one failure could have caused all those lights in different systems. In the RCS, we had AC overload, we had DC undervolt, and the cryogenic lights on. And it just didn't make sense. Kind of in simulation, we had a rule, sort of a standing rule, that when they gave us failures, they normally would not give us one failure, more than one failure, one time in one system. It's kind of like, I guess, God was not going to be so unkind as to give us more than one failure one time. So this was, but it turned out many of the lights were false lights. The G-shock of the explosion had closed some of the valves that overcome the spring tension in some of the gas and RCS valves, and valves that normally were open had been closed. Now on our panel, we had a little talk back that was gray and barber pole to a switch you'd move to tell you it was open or closed, but we did not have, that was not connected to the valve. That was connected to the switch. So it wasn't until Mission Control, who had telemetry to the valves, noticed that and had us recycle some valves, most of those caution warning lights went away, except the ones obviously involved with the electrical system.
There was one little incident that's kind of interesting because it shows some of the thought process that's going through. Of course, we lost 3 fuel cells, 2 oxygen tanks, computer went off the line, and in Mission Control, when they first saw the instrumentation on their consoles that were reflected through coming down from telemetry from our instrument panel, the first thing was, hey, no, this has got to be a communications problem. You know, we can't lose 3 fuel cells, 2 oxygen tanks, and do all this at one time. I mean, don't we believe in redundancy? Don't we have reliability at those 16 nines or something like that? And so it was a little time, wasn't it? Until finally it dawned on everybody. And meanwhile, Fred and I were sneaking our way into the lunar module to find out just what we had to work with.
And what did you have to work with? What did you have to do in terms of maintain electrical power?
Well, the first thing, I think that Gene was correct, we had to transfer the guidance system from the dying command module to the lunar module. Now, the two are not mated exactly in the same XYZ planes. So there was a correction that we had to do from the angles that the command, that Schweikert sent to me, to what I had to put the correction in before I could put it into the lunar module computer system to make sure that the guidance system of the lunar module corresponded to the same position of the spacecraft that we had that we did have. And I got the angles, and then I asked them to say, would you check my arithmetic?
You were doing this manually. With
in those days, we did things manually. I had a pencil, and I had my little checklist, and it said, I put the angle in, and there was the correction that I had to do, and then I wrote it down. And so I called them up, and I wasn't afraid to ask anybody if 2 and 2 are really 4 in this particular instance.
Yeah, you have to really appreciate how dumb the computers we had in those days. Because really, the ones we had in Mission Control, 90% of the computing resources was associated with trajectory. And only a very small percentage was associated with driving displays. So basically, this was a pencil paper computation we had to get, and it had to be perfect.
So what happened next, Jim?
Well, we got through, and of course, the mission control called up and said, you're in the lunar module? We said, yes, and we're turning on the systems, and we transferred the guidance. And they said, Ben, this is the best idea to get us back on the free return course. That free return course would get us back around the moon, back down to the Earth, and hopefully it would be a safe passage through the atmosphere. And that was something which we really wanted, because at the time that we were, or the course that we were on when the explosion occurred, was not a free return course. We didn't have the main propulsion system at this time. We lost that along with the electrical power and the oxygen. Consequently, if we went around the moon and came back to the Earth, the closest point of approach to the Earth would have been about 40,000 miles out. And consequently, we were in this hybrid long elliptical orbit, and we could be there for decades, just going out 240,000 miles to the apogee, coming back around Earth, but not close enough. So we had to get back on that free return course. So that's where, of course, Mission Control had us and how they wanted us to make the maneuver.
Yeah, basically, the key thing was the decision process was get them a trajectory, start working the power management, power problem that we had, figure out what are we going to use, because we left the inertial system up, and we knew that being mechanical system, there would be so drift. So we had to have some way to check that. Get ready in the vicinity of the moon, come up with the get home fast maneuver, then start working up the checklist that you needed for the reentry phase. While we were doing that, basically, we found out that we had some aberration in the trajectory, so now with no computer, no display system, we had to come up with a way to basically execute a maneuver using the descent engine.